Secretary of State Alexander Haig to resign. So President Bush is not the ideal aid Israel, but Chas v'Sholem that we should attack President Bush. President Bush is not the same Israel. So that applies even to Vice President Bush too. He's not a real Eid Yisrael, but he's not a same Yisrael. So towards Jew, towards Umusayilam leaders who are not openly hate to resign. So President Bush is not the ideal Eid Yisrael, but Chas v'Sholem that we should attack President Bush. President Bush is not the same Yisrael. So that applies even to Vice President Bush too. He's not a real Eid Yisrael, but he's not the same Yisrael. So towards Jew, towards Umusayilam leaders who are not openly hostile to the Jewish people, who do not say L'chu v'nachidim Migoi v'lizoch Hashem Yisrael aid, even though in their heart some of them might wish it. But we have to be very careful. We have to have a chayis. And then we can't even prove. How can we be sure? But towards those going who are like Haman, like Farrakhan, who openly say that the Jewish people should be wiped out, they are the media of the Sitra d'Ismail should become a leader of Sitra d'Yemin. This is what the Medrash means. What was the identity of that Malach who revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu mitich mara asneh, which symbolizes the concept of the loneliness of the Jewish people and of the unfairness of the Umusayilam towards the Jewish people, even of the liberal leaders of the Umusayilam. So what should be the main philosophy, the main guideline? So Rabbi Yochanan says, towards Umusayilam in general, as long as they are not openly trying to destroy Am Yisrael, so our guideline should be that of Mechoya. Mechomecho b'ilim Hashem. Mechomecho b'ilim Hashem. We have to fight in the rest, but we should not attack them personally. But Ligabe the Homons, then we have to say, so it's Malach of Tzrabchanina says, but sometimes there is a situation that Malach of Real should be the guideline, not Malach Mechoya. So it's true, that's why we even though Yisrael is naming Lilvono, but at the same time there is a halacha, there has to be a certain equilibrium between the moon and the sun, and this is the underlying principle of Ibor HaShono. We have to mother the Shono because of Tkufis, because of Tvue, because of, we discussed it in the Shir and Sanhedrin, because of Ilonis, and that because the year requires Ibor. In other words, true, the primary concept that we have to apply in our approach, in our encounter with Umusayilam is mainly Ilbono, but there is a limit. Not always mainly Ilbono. Sometimes we have to be mainly Chama, and we have to fight for our rights too. So it's Gavriel. Then the Gavriel has to become the approach of Midi Sitra Dini. Of Midi Sitra Dini. So this is the message of Parshas Achidesh. Parshas Achidesh, so we say Achidesh Hazeh Lochem. So what's mean Lochem? Yisrael, Umusayilam meinu lechamo, v'Yisrael meinu libono. So actually the Torah should begin with Achidus Zelachem, because that's the primary concept. In Yadus, to be meinu libono. Hasimcha b'meinei. Luis Rosco Shashui, quando vale de banho, Mahashakri Mishivali Kimei Seilam, the greatest contribution that was done by the Knesset Yisrael was in the time, took place in the time of Rabin of Rabashe. And then the Rambam says that the troubles of the Jewish people reached its zenith. And after then, the reduction of the Torah Shabbat Peh took place. But one shouldn't get the impression the Jews are not interested in the Chama altogether, and not the Amin or Ravana, but there is a limit. If Pesach cannot be celebrated, if it is such a situation that if we are not Ma'abed the Shana, then Pesach will have to be celebrated sometimes in autumn, sometimes in winter. That means they will have to celebrate freedom in the midst of the cold winter, in the midst of the rainy and windy autumn. That's not real freedom. This is not the kind of freedom that the Torah has in mind for the Jewish people. The Torah has in mind for the Jewish people in Chag HaAviv a freedom of spring. True, we are meaning Levana, but there is a limit to that too. Usually, as long as there is a modicum of behavior in the Umis Eilam, then Michoel should be our guideline, should be our guide. But when the Umis Eilam try to destroy us, so then Gabriel has to be our guide, not Michoel. And that's a free person. Anybody who says that we have to be Meinel Levon all the time, and Michoel should always be our guide, no matter what the Umis Eilam are trying to do. So then he says, what did he say? Matam posav ibreishis, mishum kiach maso fitit lami, losis lem nachlas goyim, shim gimu Umis Eilam Yisroel listimatem. That's the situation that we find today. But today it's not just Umis Eilam say listimatem. Jewish leaders say to the Jewish people, listimatem. Jewish leaders. The former president of the Conference of Jewish Organizations. So he said that the behavior of the Israeli soldiers towards the Arab terrorists is devoid of all principles of humanity. And the leader of the American Jewish Congress, so he said also that the Israeli soldiers are not fair towards the Arabs who throw stones. No, the Israeli soldiers should let the Arab terrorists to kill our children. Michoel has to be our guide, no matter what. No. There are certain situations when the Umis, certain groups in the Umis Eilam try to destroy us openly. So then, not Michoel should be our guide, but Gavriel should be our guide. And if we don't decide to appoint Gavriel as our guide, so then we are slaves. We are not free agents. So that's the reason as to why the Torah had to begin with Bereshis Bora Lekim Shemayim Boretz and all the Itrei Adas, because it could not have been left in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because if that had been left in the Torah Shebaal Peh, so then the Umis Eilam wouldn't even know, and the Jews wouldn't even know how to answer the Umis Eilam. Then the Umis Eilam would say, listimatem, you are a bunch of murderers, you are terrorists. And today we have such a situation. The Torah tells us everything, but unfortunately many of the Jewish leaders don't believe in the Torah. So maybe they, more than the Umis Eilam, say to the Jewish people, listimatem. It didn't on March 28th. So the president of the Labor Zionist put in the New York Times a full page ad, and he said that, and he denounced the Jews in Israel and the Israeli government, that they are trying to, they ignore the wishes and the expectations of American Jewry, the chutzpah of the president of the Labor Zionist. He speaks in the name of American Jewry. He denounced it. What can we expect of President Bush and of Secretary of State Baker if the so-called Jewish leaders, the heads of the Labor Zionist and the American Jewish Congress, denounce the Israeli government that they are terrorists, and that, that Arafat didn't renounce terror, but Shamir did not renounce terror. That's what he said in that statement in the New York Times on March 28th. What did he say in effect? So he says the Jewish people least him at him. And that's what happens when Jews don't believe in the Torah. So then they accuse the Jewish people of being listed. And there is a medrash in Parsha. Ve'im alechem, ve'yichochot posik chodalet, ואם אלכם אתם תירשו את אדמוסם, ואני אתנן אלכם לרשס איסו, ארזוב אסחול ופבוש, אני עד השם לקיכם, אשר הבדלתי אסכם מן העמים. ואתם הבדלתי, ועבד לאסכם מן העמים לישלי, דז דתרסקי אני. אם אתם מובדולים מהם, הרי אתם שלי, ואם לאו, הרי אתם של מחדנצה וחדירו. If Jews are not dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then they can be like Umseilom. Umseilom, so many Goyim, they are not dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they can be fine human beings. But the Jew is not that way. If a Jew is not dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a Jew abandons the Torah, then he becomes allied with the same Yisrael. This is what happened to Dr. Schindler and to all the leaders of the Jewish organizations. They are not dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mele, they identified themselves not with the liberal Gentile leaders. No, they identified themselves with Arafat Yimach Shmei. Arafat, so the president of the Labor Zionists said, Arafat renounced her. Arafat is pursuing peace, but Shamir is still pursuing terror. What does that mean? It means that he is identified with Nebuchadnezzar the Chavir. That's freedom. That's a slave. That's a spiritual slave. So the message of Parshas HaChodesh is that, as it is expressed by the Novi Yom, Kim Vizeis Yisaleil HaMisaleil Haskil V'yodea Yisi Kami Ad Hashem Yisachesed Mishpot Yisdoko Boretz Ki Ba'ile Chopatz Dinim Ad Hashem. So it's remarkable. Usually, when Mishpot and Yisdoko are mentioned together, so Yisdoko is mentioned before Mishpot. Yisdoko is a higher Madrege than Mishpot. Mishpot means justice. Yisdoko means righteousness. Righteousness is a higher level than Mishpat. Now we find in Vayeo, we find that the Rebbeinu Shalom said, "Chidativ limana sheitzaves bono vezbeisi achov vishamru derech ad Hashem lasis tokol Mishpat liman hovi ad Hashem lavron isashati b'olav." So first tokol is mentioned, and then Mishpat. Why? Because Stoker is in a higher level than Mishpat. Mishpat is expected of everybody. If a person doesn't practice Mishpat, he can hardly be considered as a civilized person. But Stoker, he still can be very civilized, but he's not about Stoker. It's a higher Madrege. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom said that he has a special relationship with Avraham Avinu, so the Rebbeinu Shalom said, why Did he establish a special relationship with Avraham Avinu? Because Avraham Avinu was dedicated to tzedakah and mishpat. And tzedakah, in the behavior pattern of Avraham Avinu, so tzedakah took precedence over mishpat. How come that here the Novi mentions mishpat before tzedakah? And something else that is even more strange. So, we have Mishpat, Tzedakah, and Chesed. So, on the order of superiority, so Chesed is the highest. Avraham Avinu personified Chesed. And Mishpat is the lowest, justice. Then Tzedakah, then Chesed. So, first, Chesed is mentioned before Mishpat, and Mishpat is mentioned before Tzedakah. Strange, paradoxical. Twofold paradox. First of all, why is Mishpat mentioned before Tzedakah? In every other case, where Nevi'im speak, or the Torah and Nevi'im speak of Mishpat and Tzedakah, they mention Tzedakah before Mishpat. Here, the Navi mentioned Mishpat before Tzedakah. And Mishpat is mentioned before Tzedakah, and Chesed, which is the highest. So if it said Chesed, Tzedakah, and Mishpat, all right, we will understand. But Chesed, Mishpat, and Tzedakah doesn't follow any order. So what does it mean? But I think that this can be explained by taking cognizance of a certain Rashi in Parsha Vayom. And with this I'll conclude. Shmeis Vav Psukim Chavov Chavzai Posik Chavov Hu Arinu Meishe Asherom Ad Hashem Lohem Hoitziu Ez Me Yisrael Meres Mitzrayim Al Tzeveisam Him Am Dabur Melkari Melech Mitzrayim Lehitzi Ez Me Yisrael Mitzrayim Hu Moishe Be'arin. So, in Posik Chavov, Arin is mentioned before Moshe in connection with their mission to Pare. And then in Pesach of Zion, Meishe is mentioned before Aaron. How come? So Rashi mentioned it. It's from the Medrash. So he says, Hu Aaron Meishe, Ashaom Adeshem. Yesh mikei Meishe magdim Aaron le Meishe, v'yesh mikei Meishe magdim Meishe l'Aaron. Leim alach sheshkulim k'yachon. To advise us that Aaron and Meishe is shkulim. But that could not be explained literally, because the Rambam says in the Perush HaMishnah in Chelek that one of the Ikrei Hadas is that Moshe Rabbeinu was superior to any person who lived before him and to any person who lived after him. He attained the maximum of perfection in intellectual faculty and in ethical faculty. It's like, not only in Ivoe, but in everything. And that's one of the Ikrei Hadas. So how can we say that Meishe and Aaron are Shpurim? How could Aaron be Shokut to Meishe, Chas V'Shoot? That would be a repugnant concept to say that Aaron was Shokut Keneged Meishe. But I think that the Pshat is not that Aaron was Shokut Keneged Moshe. The personality of Aaron was Shokul Kineged, the personality of Moshe, Chas V'Shalom. But it means the Midas that Aaron personified are just as important as the Midas that Moshe Rabbeinu personified. The Medrash Rabbe says when the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Vayimer Ad Hashem El Aaron in Shmeis Dalet Posik Zayin Lech v'kasmei sh'amidbor v'yilech v'yivdishil v'ar lekim v'yishak lehim. So, at that moment, so the pasuk of Chesed Venish Nifkoshu, Tzedek Vishalim Neshoku, was fulfilled. The rendezvous between Mesh and Aaron, so there was a fulfillment of the pasuk in Tehillim, Chesed Venish Nifkoshu, Tzedek Vishalim Neshoku, Chesed Aaron. Emes Zemoshe, Tzedek Zemoshe, Shalom Zahar. So that means Aaron personified the midah of Chesed and Shalom. And Moshe Rabbeinu personified the midah of Emes and Tzedek. So, which midah is more important? Chesed or Shalom? Tzedek or Chesed? So both are good. This is what. So this is how the Rashi. This is what Rashi says. In Pesuk Chavav it says, "Who are the Meishe Asher Omar B'Shem Lehem who tears me Yisrael Me'as Mitzrayim Al Tzeleisom? Heim Am Dabul Mel Parim Mel Mitzrayim Leitzed Me Yisrael Mitzrayim Who Meishe Barim." Both of this, the middle of Chesed and the middle of Tzedek. So Ashkul, the middle of Emes and the middle of Shalom Ashkul, but sometimes the middle of Chesed has to take precedence over the middle of Emes. It's Emes Me'as Titzmach. And sometimes the middle of Emes has to take precedence over the middle of Chesed. What is the criterion whereby we determine as to whether there always has to be a combination between Chesed and Emes, between Tzedek and Shalom? Always a combination. We cannot have recourse just to Chesed and no Emes. We cannot have recourse just to Emes and no Chesed. There has to be a combination. But when does the predominant midah have to be Chesed? And when does the predominant midah have to be Emes? So this is what the Torah tells us. Who are you, Meshe, Asher Omar, Ad Hashem Lehem, who itziu as May Yisrael Me'as Mitzrayim Al Tzeveisom? Heim Am Dabrim El Parim Melech Mitzrayim Leitzes May Yisrael Mitzrayim Umeshvang. Isn't it redundant? Why does the Pasuk of Zion repeat the same thing that is mentioned in Pasuk Chavav? The answer is no, of course there is no redundancy. Because Meshe and Aaron had two missions. First of all, they had to cope, they had to talk to Paro. That Paro should agree to release the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And then they had to cope with the Israelites too, because there are many Jews like Dosan Baviron who considered Mitzrayim as an Eretz Zovas Cholov Dvosh. There is one conservative rabbi who wrote an article in the Chicago Tribune 2 years ago, before Pesach. So he said, he's a conservative rabbi, I don't want to mention the name, he's a professor of Judaic studies in Brown University. So he wrote that the promised land is not Israel. Israel is a terrible land because there is no freedom in Israel. Men like himself, a conservative rabbi, cannot practice conservative Judaism in Israel. As if anybody who is a conservative and lives in Israel is immediately arrested. That's the way he wrote. But the promised land is the United States of America. So in Israel you also had Dosan Baviron, Heim Bereshosom Itcholosom Vatzeifom, and Meshe Be'arim had to cope with Dosan Baviron. So Meshe Be'arim had two missions. One mission was to cope with Paro, and another mission, which was a more difficult mission, to cope with the Dosan Baviron, with the Israelites, who consider Eretz Mitzrayim as an Eretz of a Solov Vosh, and Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Yichelet Yishvel. So that's in Pesuk Chavav, it says, Who are you, Meshi, Asher Omar, Ad Hashem Lehem, who tziu as me Yisrael, Eretz Mitzrayim, Al Tzeveisom? So, in the course of our encounter with the same Israel, and in the course of our encounter with the Jewish slaves, I don't call them same Israel, even though I'm tempted to call them Jewish anti-Semites, but I still exercise perseverance. I don't call them Jewish anti-Semites, because they are Jews. So we can't call them Jewish anti-Semites, so then somebody will get the impression that they have the same type of Rishonim as the Romans, Chas v'Sholem. When a Gentile is an anti-Semite, then it is grounded primarily in Rishis. When a Jew is an anti-Semite, and there are Jews who are anti-Semites. Abel Ben is also an anti-Semite. I mean, just don't quote me. But his anti-Semitism is grounded in servility, not in riches. The president of the labor Zionist, the survivor of the Holocaust, he's an anti-Semite. He denounced the Jewish people in the New York Times. Isn't that an anti-Semite? Not every anti-Semite will dare do anything like that. Only a Jew can dare do that thing. But there is one difference. The president of the labor Zionist and Dr. Schindler, their anti-Semitism is grounded in servility. They are spiritual slaves. It's not grounded in riches. But the Gentile anti-Semites, so their anti-Semitism is grounded not in servility. They're not servant at all. It's grounded in riches, pure and simple. That's why we have to be more considerate towards the Jewish anti-Semites than towards the non-Jewish anti-Semites. So, Meishe Ba'arein, Aaron and Meishe had two missions. One to cope with the Jewish anti-Semites, whose anti-Semitism was grounded in civility. Does the Babylon's anti-Semitism? They called Eretz Mitzrayim Zovas Cholov Vosh, and Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Echeles Yishvero, not only they, I mean, even the older Meraglim, besides Kolev and Yeshua Benun, called it Eretz Echeles Yishvero. So that was civility at the core. Not Rishes was at the core. So his anti-Semitism, his anti-Semitism was grounded not in servility, he was not servant. He was not servant at all, he was not a slave, he was a Russian. The Jewish anti-Semites are primarily servant, slaves, not Rishoyim. So there has to be now encounter with the Dosan Babylons, we have to combine the Midah of Emes with the Midah of Chesed. And in our encounter with Parei, we have to combine the Midah of Emes and the Chesed. But there is one basic difference. Who are the Meishe Asher Omad Hashem Lehem, who Yitziu Esnei Yisroel Me'as Mitzrayim Al Tziveitzam? So Pasuk Vav is expressive of the mandate imposed upon Aaron and Meishe to cope with the Dosan Babylons, with the Israelites. So Aaron's midah of Chesed and Cholem takes precedence over the midah of Moshe of Tzedek and Emes. But then Pasuk of Zion is expressive of the approach that Meishe and Aaron had to apply in their encounter with Parei. So his anti-Semitism was not grounded in servility, it was grounded in vicious, pure and simple, lechuvin achidin migoi v'lizochashin yisroelei kolabein ayuri ra'irot ashlechu v'cholabas techayon. So the Torah says, heim amdabrim el pari melech Mitzrayim lehitzi ezne yisroel mitzroim hu Moshe v'yaroim. The middle of Moshe of Emes and Tzedek has to take precedence over the midah of Sholem and Chesed. In other words, the main guide is to be in our encounter with Parei and the same Israel. So the main guide is to be Mala Gavriel, and Gavriel has to be main guide. But in our encounter with the Dosan Babylons, so the main guide has to be Arin, that's Malach Michoel, Havlagah. But in our encounter with the thinly soiled hormones, with our thought. So the main guide has to be with the in our encounter with the pure law, Yimach Shmom. So the main guide has to be Gavriel. This is what Rav Hanina said. Vayire all of Malach Ad Shem Bilab Aseish Mitech Hasne Mihoyo Rav Yechanan Omar Mechoyal and Rav Hanina Omar Gavriel. But Eilu Beilu Dirle Kimchaim, it all depends. If we have to encounter a leader of the Umis Eilom who is not openly trying to destroy Shem Yisrael, so then the main guy should be Mechoyal. But if we had encounter with someone like the peer, like Arafat Yimach Shmei, so then the main guide has to be Gavriel. Now, when we say Krishma Lamito, in all the Siddurim, fine, that we say before we go to sleep, after we say the first parsha, we say, Mimini Michoel, I don't know whether you are accustomed to say it, Mimini Michoel, Mismil Gavriel, Unfona Yuriel, Machira Rifoel, Valreishi Shchinaskel. In our Mishpoche we don't say it, because in our Mishpoche we don't say Tula Samapil, because we consider ourselves that we can never decide when we'll fall asleep, so Mele it will be Shchash Broche Batole. Reb Chaim never said Birke Samapil, and my father never said Birke Samapil, the Priska Rov Revolvo never said Birke Samapil, except once, and that was the Yukipa night, the night before he was Niftar. So for some reason, and the children didn't understand it, for the first time that they saw him recite the Birke Samapil. But so since we don't say Birke Samapil, we don't say Mimini Mechoyl Mismili Gavriel Mifona Yeriel Machir Rifoyl Valresh Shkinaskim. But I'm sure that you don't follow up that example set by Rav Chaim, and you say Birke Samapil, so you probably say Mimini Mechoyl Mismili Gavriel Mifona Yeriel Machir Rifoyl Valresh Shkinaskim. So I'll explain it, even though I don't say it, but I don't say it. Mimini Mechoyl. This should be our motto of every Jew. Who is my guide on the right side? On a regular basis, Michoel. Mikomeicho Beilim Hashem. Mikomeicho Beilim Hashem. And even toward Soviet Russia, after all, Soviet Russia is now has introduced glasnost. And there is a lot of freedom now in Soviet Russia. And there are many, I met a number in Yeshivas Brisk, we have a new student who came from Russia, and then Lubavitcher was his Rebbe, and he knows several Misachtes. I mean, I was amazed to see it. There is a new wave of freedom in Soviet Russia. And those Jewish leaders who keep on attacking the Soviet government are not friends of the Jewish people. They are just friends of themselves. So towards Soviet Russia, and no tzaddikim, Gorbachev is no tzaddik. But we have to have recourse to the midah of Michoel. Of Michoel. Not to attack him and to demonstrate against him. So Mimini Michoel, Mismeili Gavriel, but just as the left hand is not the regular hand with which you write, but sometimes in case of an emergency, if somebody was in an accident and he suffered a fracture in the right hand, then in a situation of emergency he has to use the left hand. And even when he uses the right hand, the left hand is also used as an aid. That's my problem. Well, I am damaged in the left side, because I had a stroke in the right side of the brain, so that controls the left side of the organism. So now it's difficult for me to write. I have to write only on a pad that doesn't shake, doesn't slip, doesn't move. I can't write on a piece of paper, on a check. Somebody has to hold it. So even though the right hand is the regular hand that is used, but the left hand is necessary to coordinate his work with the Vaitem. So Mini Mechoyev, but Mismili Gabriel, the Mide of Gvure, the Mide of Gvure has to be resorted to in emergency situations when there are terrorists who are trying to destroy us, and who say, even after renouncing terror, they say they make statements that they are not going to give up the Intifada. That's not terror, the Intifada. The Intifada is a fight for freedom. What is terror? Terror is only when they kill someone in Munich. But if they kill Jews in Israel, that's not terror. So that's a good answer for the Umisailam, but that should not be an answer for us. Some male we have to say, Mimini Michoel, but Mismeli Gabriel. And sometimes, and towards the same Israel, who openly say, Lechuvin Achide Migoyim Lizoch Hashem Yisrael Eid, and who expressed it so explicitly, as Arafat Zimach Shmei, Lechuvin Achide Yisrael Lizoch Hashem Yisrael Eid. So we have to have recourse to the middle of Gabriel. So Mimini Michoel, Mismeli Gabriel, what does real personify? That's air, kale, the light in deciding upon the policies of Israel and now attitude towards the same Israel. So we have to be motivated by vision. What kind of vision? Vision that is based upon the Torah. The guide has to be real. How come that you put a refoil in such a position in the back? What does it mean, Machira refoil? Now, there are many Jews who are not in the forefront of the fight against the terrorists. On the contrary, they stay in the back. They stay in the back. And sometimes there are many Jewish leaders who give those who fight in the forefront against the Intifada, they give them a step in the back. They give them a step in the back. So, what kind of an attitude should we decide against those Jews? The Abi Ban and the Shimon Peres and the Isa Weitzman and the Dr. Schindlers and the president of the Liber Zionist, should we dislike them the way we have to dislike the Hamas, Chas v'Shalom? Because as I said before, there is a basic distinction between the Gentile anti-Semites and the Jewish anti-Semites. Jewish anti-Semitism that is professed and preached by so-called Jewish leaders is grounded essentially in servility. And Gentile anti-Semitism of the Romans is grounded in vicious, pure and simple. So since it is grounded in so in servility, not in vicious, I'm not saying Shimon Peres is a Roshe. I'm not saying that Abi Ben is a Roshe. I'm not saying that Isa Weitzman is a Roshe. Chas v'Shalom. They are slaves. They are spiritual slaves. Why are they spiritual slaves? Very simple. Because v'amichtof cholus al aluches, al tikcho cholus al acheus, she'em lecho b'acherin al amishesim b'teror. Those who do not believe in the Torah, like Abi Ben. So he's a slave. He has to be a slave. It's not a Roshe. So of course, ma'asayach ma'chabayach ne'ach yitzei. The Jewish anti-Semitism is more dangerous than the anti-Semitism of the Sinai Israel. But we still have to show consideration to them, because it's grounded not in vicious, pure and simple. It is grounded in civility. So we have to, they are never sick. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Ma'achira Rifoel, those who stand behind us, who do not participate in our endeavor to wipe out the Intifada, they are never sick. We cannot hate them, we cannot dislike them. They are sick. They need therapy. Rifoel has to help them, has to heal them. And over and above our relationships. So this is what we have to say. And then I just want to repeat what I said in my address in the summer at the conference sponsored by the Ministry of Religion. When the Nin's Miras Yisrael said, Yimeshkochech Yerushalayim Tid Tishkach Yemini, the Nin's Miras Yisrael did not has to show mean to curse themselves. The Rambam says that if somebody curses himself, not somebody else, he's either allowed to rise. One is not allowed to curse himself either. So how could the Nin's Miras Yisrael, as the mouthpiece for Klal Yisrael, he was speaking on behalf of all of Jewry. He didn't mean to curse himself. He didn't mean to say, if I forget the Yerushalayim, let my right side be forgotten. That would involve an Issa Deraisa to curse himself. But Mitzori Hazisi, I suffered 5.5 years ago a stroke in the right side of the brain, in the thalamus, in the right side of the brain. So because of that, I became handicapped in the left side of my organism. The foot, the shoulder, everything left. The right side, on the contrary, I mean, because there is a law of compensation. So my right hand and my right leg has more vigor than ever before because of the law of compensation. But the left leg and the left hand is weak. I can move it, I'm not paralyzed. But when I move it, I have pain. So the Nin's Miras Yisrael just gave vent to a diagnosis of the condition, of the neurological condition of certain Jews. And all those Jews who are ready to turn over the Western Bank to Arafat in Yerushalayim, some of them are ashamed. Shimon Peres is ashamed because if he'll say Yerushalayim too, so then he knows that he'll be fired. So he doesn't see Yerushalayim, but the rest, Hebron, Shechem, Shemrein, I mean, Golan Heights, the Azaz Street, Yerushalayim is afraid to mention. But I'm sure that those who are ready to turn over in the Western Bank, they are ready to turn over Yerushalayim too. But the old city, I mean, who needs the old city anyway? I mean, what do you have in the old city? You have no theaters, no cinemas, nothing. But they are ashamed to say it. So, in other words, are they showing? No. It's a neurological condition. I am handicapped in my left side because I suffered a stroke in the right side of the brain. So I am a right winger, so I am handicapped. And these Jews, Abel Ban, Shimon Peres, is a Weizmann, and I forgot the name, I can't tell, the president of the Labor Zionist, and a certain lady, I mean, I forgot the name, who met with Arafat in Geneva, I forgot the name, I can't remember all these names. So they suffered a spiritual and moral stroke in the dominating area of the brain, in the right, in the left side of the brain. I am physically handicapped because I suffered a stroke in the non-dominating area of the brain. So I'm handicapped in the left side, but they suffered a spiritual and a moral stroke in the right side of the brain, in the left side of the brain. So they are lefties. They suffered a stroke in the left side of the brain. So they are handicapped, spiritually and morally handicapped in the right side. So the Nin's Miras Yisrael, when he said in the Shkocher Yerushalayim Tishkech Mini, did not mean Chas V'Sholem to curse themselves. No, Chas V'Sholem. He just gave vent to a diagnosis in the same way as a neurologist diagnoses the condition of a stroke victim. So he says, in the Shkocher Yerushalayim, if I attain such a condition that I'm ready to give up Yerushalayim, then he chose the Tishkach Yemini. When I had the stroke, so the first few days, I had no awareness of my left side. I wrote that in the article, Tradition, A Glimpse at Eternity. and all the doctors who attended to me were impressed with the accuracy of the description of my sensation of why shouldn't I accurately describe my sensation at all. Who knows it best? I mean, so I said that the first 5 days after I had a stroke, I wasn't aware of my left leg. And I felt the left leg was a heavy boulder on the bed. And if I hadn't been ashamed, I would say, how is it there is a trespasser here on my bed and he's lying on me? This is the way I felt. I didn't say it because I knew that that was an imaginary sensation. It was not a real sensation. Because when there are certain people, I, Baruch Hashem, I, Hetziyat Yishmaye, so that non-awareness of my left side disappeared. But there are certain stroke victims whose non-awareness of the damaged side never disappears, and they always think that it's a heavy boulder. And there are many, many stroke victims who get a nervous breakdown because of that. My neurologist told me, so Meshkochech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini. Why are they ready to give up Yerushalayim, the Western Bank? Because they are spiritually and morally brain damaged. The lefties. And Mimele, they're not aware of the right side of Amisoil, Yerushalayim, this the Funayel Machir, the Fire, the Rish, is going to say. Discusses two things. First, it discusses the laws relating to a woman give birth to child, boy or girl. And then the Torah discusses the other theme, namely death of Torah. Now, both topics can be considered as two classes of one subject matter, namely Tumah V'Taharah. Now, I'm not trying to understand. First, it discusses the laws relating to a woman give birth to child, boy or girl. And then the Torah discusses the other theme, namely death of Torah. Now, both topics can be considered as two classes of one subject matter, namely Tumah V'Taharah. Now, I'm not trying to understand the dealing of Tumah V'Taharah. We have to understand what the Torah says, but why the Torah says that, let's say, Nido is Tmeo 7 days, Yilis of Izocho is Tmeo 7 days, Yilis of Nikevo is Tmeo 14 days. I'm not trying to understand that. That's Chukim. So we don't have to understand it. Just as we cannot understand why is there a law of gravitation. Why is there a law of gravitation? There is no logic, there is no story. That was the will of God, that there should be a law of gravitation. So that's the will of God. I mean,
there is such a law. It's beyond our inquisitive grasp. But I would like to understand the meaning of Tumah Vitah. Now, Tumah is translated in the English term unclean, impure. Toya means clean and pure. What does it mean? Does it have reference to physical uncleanliness, physical impurity? It's not so. I mean, one who touches a mess, so becomes an avatume. The mess itself is the high, represents the highest degree of tume. Is there anything wrong with this microphone? Why is there an echo? So, represents the highest degree of tume. And the one who touches a mess, so is an avatume. So does it mean if somebody touches a mess that he is physically more unclean than the one who didn't touch a mess? And as far as physical impurity is concerned, so if a person will immerse himself in mud, he will not be coming. He's certainly physically unclean. Well, and he will not be also to enter the Bisham Mikdosh. Of course, if he enters the Bisham Mikdosh without washing off the mud and the filth, so he'll be there the essay of Mikdosh at all. It's not respectful to the Bisham Mikdosh to enter the Bisham Mikdosh with all the filth and the mud on his body. But he doesn't have to count 7 days. If somebody touches Imes, or he enters the room of Imes, the tent of Imes, so he has to count 7 days, and then you have to sprinkle on him on the third day, on the seventh day, the Chatos. Obviously, it's not for the purpose of removing physical impurity. And, you know, that some say that the purpose, now I mentioned once, you know, Taimi Ateo, we say, many of the Shani mentioned Taimi Ateo. The Rambam, Yer Chazoko, very, very rarely mentions Taimi Mitzvahs. Only in respect to the Iser of Hakofa Space Arosh, and Hakofa Space Hazokin, he mentions it. But in respect to the other Isurim, he doesn't mention any Taimi. In Elen Vuchim, he mentions Taimi for everything. The Chinuch mentions Taimi, even the Rambam mentions Taimi. But it's called tam. What does it mean, tam? Tam is taste. In other words, let's say, it's the muscle to foods. So there are certain foodstuffs that are essential for the maintenance of the bodily balance, vitamins, proteins, carbohydrates, and so on. But then, candy is not one of the things that is essential for the maintenance of the human organism. On the contrary, it's even detrimental. But the taste is enjoyable. So in other words, tami and mitzvahs are called tami. A tam is not something that partakes of the nature of a categorical imperative. It varies, the taste of a person varies from generation to generation, from community to community. So it's all right to give Tami Amitro the Tami Amitzves that do not coincide with the Tami Amitzves of the Rambam. It's all right, nothing wrong with it. The Chimshen for Hirsch gives Tami Amitzves that are not in harmony with the time, the rationals that the Rambam mentions. But why? Because Tami, a rationale for Mitzvah, is only a time, it makes it more enjoyable. So it might change, it might vary from generation to generation and from community to community according to the taste of the people. Just as you cannot say that in every generation one must enjoy, let's say, coffee. So it depends. Hungarian Jews like coffee. I'm of a Russian background. I don't like coffee, I like tea. I mean, is there anything objecting that nothing? So time and mitzvahs are time. So it doesn't have to be. So, but they are not the essential thing. The essential thing, the real footsteps in the Torah, is the Dini Torah. these are the vitamins, these are the proteins, these constitute the essence of Torah. Tainam is the Sim Badarambam Badarambam. It's only tiny. So some people enjoy a certain candy and some people don't enjoy a certain candy. So I'm not asking why. Why the Torah says that he, somebody who touches a mess, who enters the room of the mess, is tumah 7 days. Why the mechatos have to be sprinkled upon him on the 3rd and 7th day? That's chukin shchokach lucho, English is loud. I'm not even interested in finding it out. Just as I'm not interested, even if I had been a scientist, which I'm not, I wouldn't be interested in finding out why the Ribbono Shel Olam instilled in the Tzuras Olam a law of gravitation. That was the Rotz Naber. I don't have to understand it. But I want to understand why is called Zohid the one who touches the mess. Why is a Negiah the mess, or one who enters the Eila mess, called Avatum? Is unclean. Why is he need a coat and avatume? Why even a person who touches a needle is called a rishon litume? Why a person who touches a person who came in contact with the mess is a rishon litume? What does it mean? He's unclean. What clean? Unclean in what sense? Impure in what sense? And assuming, and I saw some people, I mean, who are interested in writing rationales for the Torah, so they try to explain the union of Tumas Mes, because the Mes, or even let's say Nivela is mitame, carcass of an animal is mitame, because there are many, it's infested with many germs. That's true, it's infested with many germs. So first of all, so that could explain as to why somebody who's negiah in a mess, so is stomach. In other words, then it's explained on the basis of physical impurity, because a germ that is conducive to sicknesses, so is a certain type of a physical impurity. But how can we explain the union of the tumor of a person who enters a big building, to which there is a mess? In other words, if it's a big building, even like the Empire State Building, and there is one mess in one room, and the door is open to the other rooms, so anyone who enters the Empire State Building becomes dummy. You mean that the germs will spread so far? I mean, that's ridiculous. So I think that this attempt to explain, you know, tumah vitale on the basis of physical impurities is absurd. It's absurd. But we have to understand what the Torah means when he says stomach is unclean. In what way is he unclean? Is he physically unclean? So there is only one answer, that tumah represents emotional impurity. Emotional impurity, because Tare is called that which is everlasting and permanent. Tume is impure, is called that which is temporary and disintegrating. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, we say it every Shabbos in the Pesukei Dezimra. Yiras Hashem Tehero Unmedeslat. Why is pure God, Yiras Hashem, pure? Why is it pure? Because it's a medeslat. If a person is motivated by the concept of fear of God, then it keeps him, it makes him immune against emotional frustration. So when a person is in a state of frustration, then he's unstable, you know that. I mean, certain frustrations end up in a total nervous breakdown, and the person begins to act and port himself in an unstable way. At one moment he'll laugh and he'll dance, and at that moment he'll cry and he can even become violent. In other words, when a person is frustrated, then he's in a situation of disintegration. What does a nervous breakdown mean? A nervous breakdown means a total collapse of the emotions. He cannot contain the emotions in a balance. So he has a nervous breakdown. So tume means essentially emotional frustration. Now we can understand as to why. Who are the abhi satume? There is only one abhi satume, and that's mess. The mess himself is not the abhi satume. But the other sources of tume, of contamination, of impurity, are avatume. Who are the avatume? Somebody who touches a mess is an avatume. A nido, a zab, a zogre, the same thing, is an avatume. Nivelo, a carcass of an animal, is an avatume. Shechazela is an avatume. So in other words, all these things are entities that are conducive to emotional frustration. And this is how we can understand the halacha, that not only one who comes in contact with the mess, but who even enters the environment, the tent of the mess. So it's also funny, because contact with death is conducive to despondency. Despondency is synonymous with emotional frustration. When a person comes in contact with the tragedy of life, so then he becomes emotionally frustrated. So even if he doesn't touch a mess, he just enters the air of a mess, the tent of a mess. But usually when somebody enters the air of a mess, he's aware of it. Of course, there are exceptional situations when a person enters the air of a mess, he doesn't even know that, but that's an exceptional situation. But usually when a person enters a house in which there is a mess, he's cognizant of the fact there is a mess. And that unavoidably tends to instill a feeling of despondency and sadness and emotional frustration. And that's the reason as to why even a nivela is an avatume. A mess is an avatume, because nothing is conducive to as much as emotional frustration as contact with the mess. Because when a person sees a human being, I mean, who in his lifetime could think that he can conquer the world, and then he sees that so he becomes discouraged, he becomes despondent. It's only natural to become despondent. But even contact with the nivela, with the carcass of an animal, but after all, an animal is also a living thing. Every animal is a great thing. And then he sees, the animal was jumping around, and then now it's like an inanimate thing, and worse than an inanimate thing, because an inanimate thing is stone, so nothing happens to it. But the carcass of an animal becomes the object of all kinds of germs, attacking it. So it's a very frustrating experience. So it's conducive to emotional frustration. And once a person becomes frustrated emotionally, then he tends to become unstable. And if it is not handled properly, it can culminate in a nervous breakdown too. We find many people, when they are overtaken by tragedy, so they get nervous breakdown. It's only a natural thing. Now you're asking me a very important question. If so, there should be one group of people who should be more emotionally frustrated than any other group, namely doctors. Because after all, who has as much contact with deceased people as doctors? Every day? Every day. One doctor is a mentor, a former colleague of mine in Chicago, so he works in an emergency division in a hospital. So he says that every day, almost sometimes every day, there is a Jew who is brought to the emergency department and then he dies, you know. He dies. Now there's aloha that if one witnesses Yetzias Neshama of any Jew, observant or not observant, as long as he's not in Malachis, so he has to tear tree. So what should he do? He should keep on tearing his body, I mean. Every day, so I give him the heta. I give him the heta not to tear tree because of the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Hashemia, Birkas Hashem, Bizman Hazeh, Ein Chayev L'Kreya. Shil Mori Hoya Chayev L'Kreya, Hoya Nismalaya Beget Kuri Koin Koin. So the Gemara says, Bimai, Ilo Ine, Bisroel Nishpotya Kula Hai, it's so bad that if we had to tear Shriye and blasphemy, so then everybody's Beget would be Mori Koin Koin. It's not so bad. Even today it's not so bad. Bizman Chazal, of course not. Elo Bishamayam Piyakim. So actually, if one hears blasphemy, you know, from Goy, so he should tear tree. Should tear tree, but there is a heta. Because if he would have to tear tree, he would have to tear tree sometimes. He would have to tear tree every day. And I said, unfortunately, today, I'm saying Arabi, so we cannot say in Poker Kulahai, because when you read newspapers and books, even written by Jews, and sometimes by people who are considered as great authorities on the Holocaust, so you will have to tear tree, I mean, every day. So there is a heta not to tear tree, because you are more a Hulachai of Israel. So this doctor, I said, so when a layman, you know, who is not involved in sick people, is accidentally witnesses the Tzias Neshama of a Jew, he has to tear his body, but not a doctor, because if you would have to tear your body, you would have to tear your body every day. So you need a special job, you know, in order to be able to buy a new suit every day. I mean, that's some job, I mean, today. So doctors have more contact with Masons than any other member of any other profession. And still, I think the doctors are the least frustrated. I didn't take any poll, but I think that if poll be taken, so we show that of all the professions, the doctors probably are the least frustrated. Less frustrated than rabbis, the Sahodjah, I mean, and less frustrated than dentists, and less frustrated than any other members of any other profession. But according to what I said, I mean, they should be more frustrated than anybody else. So there is an answer. And that also will explain why those whom the Torah declares as Avatume, so they are considered to be frustrating sources. Because emotional frustration does not end in emotional frustration. Usually, unless measures are taken to prevent it, so an emotional frustration is conducive to moral and spiritual frustration. You see that in the story of Yev. When Yev was overtaken by the Surim, Asius Yev, I mean, there is one day in Medresh, I mean, even the Gemara of Basra, I think, that the wife of Yev was Dina Bas Yaakov, I mean, it's only one day. But there is one day at the end of Shabbos, Yaakov was probably a fine woman. I mean, and still she said to him, but when she saw her husband was overtaken by agony and by suffering, she said, Borei Chalakimu means, can you understand that? A fine woman? A fine woman? The daughter of Yaakov, let's say it's not as Yaakov. So should become so demoralized? So demoralized? Should sink so low as to advise the husband to indulge in blasphemy? How is it possible? But Chazal say, Ein odom nitras al tzare. One should never condemn a person who sins because he's in pain. In other words, I'll say, the Chazal say it in regard to Yev, because Yev, he was a tzaddik and everything, with tongue and everything, fine person, but still, he complained against the Hashgachah. So Chazal say that the Chavirim of Yev, who reprimanded him, and he said, Schir zein smil no piyomet, they were punished, but Yev was not punished for his kindness against Ashgach of Kosit was the sin. What him had a need to sell Sarah. Some male, Asia Siev, we can't condemn Asia Siev either. She acted in a natural way. In other words, because emotional frustration is conducive to moral and spiritual frustration. When a person becomes morally and spiritually frustrated, emotional frustration is one thing. But moral and spiritual frustration is the biggest catastrophe that could take place. So then he has no spiritual and moral balance. Then everything is muta. And no checks. There's no balance. Nothing. So even a fine woman like Isha Siyah, whether she was Bas Yaakov or not, she was certainly a noble woman before her suffering. But she became so distraught to the emotional frustration that culminated in spiritual malfestation, and she advised Eve to become a blasphemer. So the reason, and I don't think that I can be charged with the prejudice against doctors. I'm not prejudiced against anybody, certainly not against doctors, but the reason is why doctors who should be more emotionally frustrated than any other person, because they have more contact with the tragedy of life than any other person. So the reason is why they are the least emotionally frustrated, because they have a defense mechanism of transforming their emotional translation, that's a defense mechanism in them, into spiritual frustration. And if a person allows his emotional frustration to be maintained as emotional frustration, then he will not be popular among his colleagues. Then he is destined to be put in institution in a short time. But if he manages, as a defense mechanism, to convert the emotional frustration into spiritual manifestation on the country, then he becomes a big man. A big man. Anybody who writes a book and explains the Holocaust from the perspective of blasphemy can become a great person. And then he'll be interviewed by many media people on television, on radio, by newspaper correspondents, by everybody. But if doctors, so that's the trick done by the doctors, that they can convert, they manage to convert their emotional frustration into spiritual and moral frustration. And that's the reason as to why doctors do certain things that are incredible. Only in the newspaper on Friday in Chicago Tribune, on the first page I read, there was a panel of physicians, the greatest physicians in America and Canada, had a panel in Boston, from Harvard, from Columbia University, from the University of Chicago, and there was a discussion about the ethical the ethics in prescribing pills and dosages to terminally sick patients so that they could commit suicide and die a peaceful death. So there was a machlekes. So 10 outstanding physicians in America said that that's the most ethical thing, to help a terminally ill patient to die a peaceful death. Peaceful death. There's a Jewish lady, you know, who wrote the book, how she helped her mother commit suicide with the help of a physician and an attorney, and it became a bestseller. So, what does that mean? These doctors, only 2 doctors protested, 2. But 10, the greatest physicians in America, perhaps in the world, greatest specialists, said that it's the most ethical thing. And if a doctor refuses or hesitates to prescribe a pill that the patient, the terminally ill patient, should take in order to bring about a peaceful death, so then he's insensitive. What does that mean? That's a defense mechanism, in my opinion, to convert the emotional frustration into spiritual and moral frustration. But it's a defense mechanism that they can do with impunity. To allow the emotional frustration to be maintained as an emotional frustration intact, that's not good. That will not be impunity, because then they might get a nervous breakdown. But if it's converted into moral and spiritual frustration, so then what's wrong with it? So this is the reason, but this is the reason as to why the Torah declares anybody who comes in contact with tragedy, with the mess, who even enters the ill mess, and he becomes cognizant. There's a difference in the English Mielaria. Of course, everybody hears there's so much tragedy, but there's a big difference between hearing and seeing. It's one thing to hear of an airplane crash that overtook the passengers of the Pan American plane, but it's another thing to be involved with them. When you read the paper, all right, so you give it credit, that's all. But you don't become frustrated. But if you witness it, then you become emotionally frustrated, and then something has to be done. Because there are 2 alternatives. Either we do what the Torah prescribes to do, to be on guard against becoming emotionally frustrated, which tends to convert into moral and spiritual frustration, or to become morally and spiritually frustrated. That means the morals. What does the Novi say? The Jews at the time of catastrophe. So he said, Nechal benishte kimocha namus. That's the disposition of a person who is under the impact of the anticipation of dying the next day, becomes demoralized. That's why soldiers in the army became so many of them became demoralized. Many of them who were very noble characters lost their minds. But those who didn't lose their minds, many of them, so they became demoralized. I don't know whether anybody read the accounts of the soldiers in the Vietnamese War, how many of them lost their minds, and how many of the American soldiers, so who were forced to fight the war thousands of miles away from the home, for what reason? They didn't know for what. Because Johnson wanted them to fight, that's all. So because of that, so some of them lost their minds, and some of them became completely demoralized. So the Torah says, that there is such a halacha of tume vitar. Tume means impure. Impure in what sense? at the very outset it seemed pure and emotional, but has shown we are not. We are supposed to take all the antidotes, all the measures against the emotional frustration becoming converted into moral and spiritual, frustration. So, a message in Abhyavishti, that's the biggest source of impurity, of emotional impurity. And the next is Navatama. Anyone who comes in contact with the rest is Navatama. The Deva is Navatama. The Nido is also Navatama. Why is the Nido Navatama? Why? Because when a woman has the menstrual period, so then she is emotionally frustrated. And frustration is contagious, like a contagious disease, you know. So the germs spread, you know, are transmitted from one person to the other through contact. So emotional frustration is also contagious. There are spiritual germs in frustration, spiritual germs, and it's very contagious. So that's why anybody who enters the LMS, so it's also not to the same extent as the mess himself, it's an avatar, Abhyavishtami, but he's an avatar. And anyone who touches someone who enters an LMS is a vision to me, because it's contagious, it spreads. It spreads. So that's the meaning of Tumi. Of Tumi. And now I would like to explain something that was used as a target by so many so-called enlightened Jews and Jewesses, the halacha in Kisasliya, namely that if a woman gives birth to a boy, she is tmeo for 7 days. And if a woman gives birth to a girl, she is tmeo for 14 days. Years ago, I once delivered a lecture in the Beit Jacob Synagogue. At the time, Rabbi Maurice Lem was the rabbi in the shul. So, in Los Angeles. So, there was, everybody was there. Everybody. All the leaders, you know, of the Muslim movement. So then I give a lecture, and then they ask for questions. So one woman, very modern and very enlightened, so she started, and she was very outspoken and not inhibited in any way. So she started to attack Yadus, because Yadus considers the woman inferior, mean and moral. Well, first of all, the fact that a man makes the broche, show the sun ishon, the woman makes the broche, show sun ishotzene, then I wrote about it. So she assumed that the bracha of Shosani Kitzene is like the bracha like Rodananis. That's how she assumed. And then, but she attacked primarily this passage. This passage. In other words, that if a woman gives birth to a boy, so she's tmeo 7 days, and if she gives birth to a girl, she's tmeo 14 days. That indicates, you say, male chauvinism, you say. So first I asked her, if it indicates male chauvinism, why does the Torah say that if she gives birth to a boy, she's tmeo 7 days? So that means it's a tragedy when you give birth to a boy. So, but according to your interpretation, it's a bigger tragedy when you give birth to a girl. So does it make sense? All right, that was just. And then I made note. And then, so I told her, what the Gemara says, Nide, about Hilchas Nide, I mean that a mayor is a mayor. So the purpose of the Dini Nidol is, on the contrary, to restore the dignity of the woman and to instill the proper attitude in the husband towards the woman. Because if not for the Dini Nidol, the husband would be destined to become bored with her. Because if the husband had been allowed to have a physical relationship with his wife when she is in Nidol, when she is totally in a state of emotional frustration, then he would become bored with her. And then he would be kotzbo, and it would become juicy to all kinds of problems. If not for the Dini Nidol, so there would be, after all, in the course of millennia, so the family life of the among Jewish couples was something that was admired even by the biggest Sinai soil. Even by the biggest Sinai soil, they had to acknowledge that there is nothing like the family life in Jewish couples. But then lately, by the same Arabi, when Baisaru, Bagoyim, Bayungim, Maseyem, so Jews, many Jewish couples stopped observing the dinim of Taras HaMishpoche. So then we had so many divorces and everything. A divorce doesn't take place just like that in the vacuum. It's a result of marital problems, of constant fights and struggles. So why? Because Jews don't observe the dinim of Taras HaMishpoche, so mele it's kotzbo. So that is the purpose of the dinei. You shouldn't take the woman for granted. If not, so then, after tare, so then she becomes like new bride, like kala chadosho, so never become bored with her. And then, in regard to the question, why does the Torah say that if a woman gives birth to a boy, she's only impure for 7 days. And when a woman gives birth to a girl, so she's male of 14 days. The Gemara discusses that too. But the question is, what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph. Shal Talmido Vesrav Shimon Ben Yochai. Mipnei Ma'am Oteiro Yeledes Mibio Kolbu. Why does the Torah say that the Yeledes is to bring the Kol? In other words, ובמלאיס ימיתור דיינו מבס, טובי כבס בין שנוסי לאלו, ובניינו יישר לחטוס, ופסח ילמיד על הכן. So, she has to bring, after she becomes purified from the tume of giving birth, so she has to bring two kabones, the kebes as an elo, and the Yeno is say as a chatos. So Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Omar lahen, Mishor shekiras leilit, ki tetzes v'nishbash leitizokik lebayo. When a woman is in labor, and she cannot be condemned, chas v'sholem, even if she is the greatest sitonius, she might resolve that thing. You know, the mitzvah tzar. So she has such great pain when she is in labor, so then she makes a decision to abandon her husband. It's v'pichoch omroteiro tovi, and sometimes she even takes an oath to abandon the husband. V'pichoch omroteiro tovi kol. Unpnema omroteiro, then the Talmidim of Rav Shimon ben Yochai inquired from Rav Shimon ben Yochai something else. Unpnema omroteiro
Zohar Yeshiva of Yudhikiva La'avoso, Zohar Shehatim Smeichim Bei Mischaretes Lishiva, Yikiva Shehakilatzeim Bo Mischaretes La'avoso. Now I saw, I'm not going to mention names, but so-called Jewish scholars, so they mention it in their essays, and they explain it, why does Rav Shimon Yehoi mean, so Zohar Shehakil Smeichim Bei Mischaretes Lishivo, so that it means because there is a bris milah. So in other words, everybody is sameach because there is a bris tal, you know, you can sing, you can dance, I mean, so everybody is sameach. But in Kiva there is no bris, that's one thing that modern people don't do, I mean, to have a bris for in Kiva. So in Kiva, Shehakil Atzevimo, everybody is saying, Mischaret is la'avosa. It's not right, Pshat. First of all, if the Rav Shimon Bei Yehoi had meant that Zohar Shehakil Smeichim Bei because there is a breeze, so and by the Kiva there is no breeze. So in other words, it's not the Tzidkim Bo. They are saddened over the girl. They're not saddened over the girl. They are saddened over the fact that there is no priest. When they're not saddened over the girl, so we should say, Zohar Shehakil Smeichim Bei with the day, not with the boy, but with the day, because there is a priest, because the day is the priest, and that's already after the expiration of the 7 days, so there is a priest. So, Mischaretes, Lishiva, Nikiva, Shehakil Atzivim, Mischaretes, Labos. Why did it say Bos? I should say Bei Lila case. And then, why did it say Mischaretes? She has remorse after 7 days. But the youngest Nikiva, so has remorse only after 14 days. For the 14th. So why do the parents have remorse in case of his son after 7 days, and in case of a girl born, they have remorse and pangs of conscience after 14 days, because the mother, she's a noble woman, but she is tormented by pangs of conscience because in the course of her labor pain, she took an oath to abandon the husband, but she couldn't be condemned for it because then she was completely distraught by the labor pain. But when she overcame the pain, then she came to herself, so she has pangs of conscience. So in case of Yeled Zohar, so the era of pangs of conscience begins after 7 days. In the case of Yeled Nikiva, so the that when the woman conceives, she should conceive with the boy. Or if she wants, sometimes, usually, parents want to have a boy. But sometimes, let's say if parents had already 5 boys, so they want a girl. But usually, they want a boy. And that is true, and Dr. Shetel writes, that is true of all segments of society. One thing, well, this happens only among the chauvinists and the primitive, the old-fashioned people, you know, the Japanese, the Chinese, but not among modern people, so the facts are not so. The dark among the modern people, there is a greater desire for every boy than among the old-fashioned people. So it's not philosophy, it's not interest. It's one of the facts of life. I don't know why it is so, but that's one of the facts of life, that especially the first child, everybody wants he should be born. You don't make sense. Chazal, can the contrary. Chazal say vast chilos in yotel one. But the fact is, as a statistical fact, that everybody wants a boy. Everybody wants a boy. So, say that we can.
When are you going to know? When are you going to know?